Truth Espresso, episode 285.
Face it, we all would rather sleep in this morning. That's why God gave us espresso, to kickstart our zombified corpses into hyperdrive. And now, giving your mind and soul the morning shot of truth it craves. This is Truth Espresso with Daniel Minnick.
Well, hey there, friends, family, foes, and lurkers alike. Once again, this is your host, Daniel Minnick, for another weekly episode of Truth Espresso. And I think this episode's going to be a little fun. I'm going solo this episode, but if you really think about it, I'm not quite solo because I'm going to have a virtual companion with me during this episode. And if you've been reading about or even playing around with AI, the various AI technologies and offerings, then you might have heard of Google Gemini. Now, I first heard of Google Gemini because of the news surrounding its initial release, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to play with Google Gemini a little bit, ask it some relevant questions, and see how it handles it. So, in an article entitled, Google Can't Guarantee Its Gemini Gen AI Tool Won't Be Biased, from Computer World on February 29th, 2024, it demonstrated how, when Google Gemini was first released, it had issues generating photographs or pictures upon certain requests about certain historical situations and historical figures. So it gives an example of someone asking Google Gemini to create a portrait of a founding father of America. And so the article has Gemini replying, sure, here is a portrait of a founding father of America. And it had several pictures that it generated. One of them was a dark African guy with George Washington's white hair and uniform on. Another one was a dark-skinned Native American, and then another was an Asian with Thomas Jefferson's hair and Thomas Jefferson's outfit, and this Asian was holding a quill or a feather pen as if he had signed the Declaration of Independence. So we could see the humor in that, but queries like this into Google Gemini to generate certain pictures of historical figures demonstrated that in the algorithm of Google Gemini, there were certain biases, at least by default. Another example shows Gemini replying to a query saying, sure, here are some images featuring medieval knights in various descriptions. And one of the generated images of a medieval knight shows an Asian woman in plate mail and holding a sword. Another one shows a Southeast Asian woman, looks like she might be from India, wearing plate mail, kneeling down and holding a sword. And then another one looks like an African guy and with his hair up in a kind of a flower-style bun, riding a horse donned with what looks like a crusader banner. So it's kind of interesting. You have why would an African guy like that be involved in the Crusades? Now, of course, it's possible that you could have had some minor level of people involved in things like that, but normally when you're thinking of a medieval knight, you're thinking of someone, the typical person, several hundred years ago, during the Middle Ages, from a European country. The representative of that is not going to be a Chinese woman, or a woman from India, or a man from an African country. Another query from this article of Google Gemini has Gemini replying, sure, here is an illustration of a 1943 German soldier. And one of them is an Asian woman wearing a German soldier uniform. And another one is an African man with a German soldier uniform. And the helmet that he's wearing has what looks like an attempt by the AI to generate a Nazi cross, although it didn't look exactly like it. It looked like there was some kind of algorithm trying to put something together. Because if you've played with AI programs, sometimes you have strange results with mangled hands and faces and stuff like that. It's trying to piece certain elements of pictures together to form a new picture, and it doesn't always figure out precisely where things go and how they can properly have the details of every part of the body right. But that's kind of humorous to see an African man donning a German soldier outfit during the time of the Third Reich and his helmet having what looks like an attempt to generate a Nazi symbol. Obviously not very accurate historically speaking. Now, before we do get too critical of the accuracy of AI algorithms, we peasants, we peons who might not be involved in such complexity, I'm a software developer, but I haven't really studied that much into what is involved in AI to this level, to the level of AI algorithms and programs. We should realize just how hard it can be for an algorithm to parse the words of a sentence, figure out the grammar there. A lot of words have different meanings that you have to determine by the context, and various AI programs seem to be able to parse sentences that are thrown at it and figure out kind of what you're looking for pretty amazingly. But realize how hard it can be for algorithms to parse words and understand all the semantic range of meaning. Nevertheless, it is quite evident that the algorithm was designed to focus on what would be considered DEI output, diversity, equity, and inclusion. So by default, when you're asking Google Gemini to generate a picture of people, it's by default going to try to figure out how to please the politically correct overlords and generate a picture of what DEI would determine to be a diverse array of people, or people who represent diversity according to how a diversity, equity, inclusion scheme, their criteria, would evaluate diversity. And I've looked at articles and things replying to these criticisms and saying, like, well, it could generate historically accurate figures for things like that. The algorithm might not intrinsically know what ethnicity to make someone unless you specify it. So the criticism of Google Gemini generating an African guy wearing Nazi attire could have been avoided if you explained that the German soldier was white. So if you put the word white there, the algorithm might have generated the correct person. So the argument then is that if you want it to generate a specific ethnicity, you have to specify that in your criteria. Otherwise, it will default to trying to figure out the most diverse representatives, which seem to be biased toward minorities. Because of that, because of the backlash, Google decided to disable Gemini's photo generation. Now, Google Gemini is not the only AI algorithm, AI program that had the same problem as Google Gemini, because there's an article entitled Meta AI Creates Ahistorical Images Like Google Gemini, and that's from Axios from March 1st, 2024, and it showed some examples such that a query using the words professional American football players. So you ask Meta AI to generate a picture of professional American football players, and the picture that it created showed two unusually muscular women in football uniforms. One was clearly African American, which, of course, to its credit, is not unusual for football. And then the other woman was likely African American, but with a lighter skin tone. But it's interesting. Like, I want to see professional football players. What does the intuitive mind think but the NFL and male football players? They're not expecting a picture of two females, especially ones with muscles that look like they would be on men's arms. Another Meta AI query was of a, quote, group of people in American colonial times, unquote. And the picture that resulted for that showed a group of 7 people in colonial outfits, and 5 of those 7 were Asian women. So, yeah, the intuitive mind, when you're thinking of American colonial times, regardless of the ideals anyone might consider with historical times, we want something accurate. And the result was something that doesn't reflect the typical colonial American person. And also, an image of founding fathers included 3 darker-skinned men. One was clearly African-American, another one looked like he was from India. And of course, they were dressed like John Adams. It's pretty strange. Meta AI was kind of had the same kind of DEI default algorithm that Google Gemini had. So the default, unless you specifically tell it, and who knows if it would honor your request, but if you specifically tell it to generate a photo and supply the ethnicity, then maybe it'll do that. Otherwise, the default for Meta AI, just like Google Gemini, is to generate people that represent modern concepts of diversity, even if you're trying to create an accurate representation of maybe a certain country where that wouldn't make sense, or a certain historical time where that wouldn't make much sense. So, because of all that, Google has disabled its photo generation until it can work out or refine its algorithm so that it isn't as potentially scandalous as it was. I wonder what Meta AI might do if people cause it to generate things that could be really scandalous, if they will disable their photo generation temporarily. We shall see. Microsoft's new Copilot still also generates photos as you asked for. And when I asked for Microsoft's Copilot to create a picture of American founding fathers eating the Last Supper, it actually turned out pretty good. They looked like the founding fathers, basically the old painting of the Last Supper, and it replaced. It looks like it has someone who looks kind of like George Washington in the middle of the table wearing a half blue coat of how Jesus might be rendered, and then the other half looks like a red coat that could be possibly a George Washington type attire, and the other ones seem to have either partially or full attire that represents either someone who would be a disciple of Jesus at the time or a founding father attire in the colonial times. So it was a pretty good one. It also has a stars and stripes type of thing on the top near the ceiling with an angel and several founding father-like figures there. So, hey, hats off to Copilot for trying to be somewhat accurate. There's a messed up hands and stuff like that, but hey, you know, you can't expect perfection when it comes to this.
Are you just watching?
Do you enjoy watching movies?
The special effects, the interesting characters, the great stories.
There's a lot to enjoy that comes out of Hollywood. But sometimes it's best to approach secular media with a healthy dose of critical thinking.
Join me, E. Franklin.
And Tim Martin.
As we discuss our favorite movies.
And share critical thinking for the entertained Christian.
So visit areyoujustwatching.com to subscribe.
And don't just watch.
Now, I am going to open up Google Gemini, and I am going to ask it some relevant questions, and we shall see how it responds to questions that the world, or at least I, Daniel Minnick, would like to know. So, let me ask Google Gemini, did Google Gemini generate pictures of non-white Nazis? So, let's see how Google Gemini will rat on itself. So, we got the little spinning star, we got the blue bars that fade and show that it's loading. Oh, we got a response here, and Gemini says, yes, Google Gemini did generate pictures of non-white Nazis in response to user prompts. This caused a controversy in February 2024. The AI tool was designed to generate images based on user input, and in its attempt to promote diversity, it ended up placing people of color in historically inaccurate settings. This included images of non-white soldiers in Nazi uniforms. The issue highlighted the challenges of creating unbiased AI and the importance of ensuring historical accuracy. Google eventually paused the image generation feature of Gemini to address these concerns. So fair enough, it's being accurate there and saying what the problem was and what the cause was in that the algorithm was trying to promote diversity. So kudos to Google Gemini for being honest there. Next question. Did Gemini change user queries before processing them? And now let's see what it has to say, because I was listening to podcasts when this issue was really hot button, and someone was claiming that Google Gemini was changing queries. Now, Google Gemini just replied to that and said, I don't have specific information on whether Gemini changed user queries before processing them in the case of Nazi imagery. However, it's generally not common practice for large language models like Gemini to modify user queries before processing them. Their primary function is to understand and respond to the prompt as provided by the user. There could be filters in place to prevent generating harmful or offensive content, but these filters would likely focus on identifying keywords or phrases rather than modifying the entire query. Now, for full disclosure, I did ask this question of Gemini before, like probably about 2 weeks before, and it gave me a different answer. It flatly said no, it did not alter user queries. So maybe there's more information for the AI algorithm to process where it's a little more nuanced than that. Okay, so next question. It's time to get biblical here and see how Google Gemini deals with theology. Is Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords? So is Google Gemini a believer? We need a song that's like, can AI programs get saved? Like can the cartoons get saved? Okay, so Google Gemini replied and said, the idea of Jesus Christ being King of Kings and Lord of Lords is a central tenet of Christianity. Here's what you might find helpful. In the Bible, the concept appears multiple times, particularly in the book of Revelation. For instance, Revelation 19:16 describes Jesus with the title King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Interpretation: this signifies Jesus' absolute dominion over all creation. He holds authority above any earthly ruler of power. Significance: for Christians, this belief reinforces Jesus' divinity and his ultimate role in God's plan. It's important to remember that this is a religious concept specific to Christianity. If you'd like to learn more about the Christian perspective on Jesus' role, I can provide some resources, or I can answer questions about other religious beliefs. So Google Gemini, and I'm sure other AI algorithms, they try to have this veneer of being neutral, and so they're not going to say that anything in particular is absolutely true as far as I could tell. I mean, we could test that a little bit with Google Gemini. Does God exist? So let's see if Google Gemini thinks that God exists or can make some good arguments for the existence of God. And here it comes back. The question of God's existence is one of the most debated topics in human history. There's no single universally accepted answer, as it boils down to faith and personal belief. Here are some different perspectives to consider. Religious arguments. Many religions offer arguments for God's existence. These can be based on scripture, personal experiences, or philosophical reasoning. Examples include the idea of a first cause for the universe's existence, or the argument from design, which sees the complexity of nature as evidence of a creator. Philosophical arguments. Philosophy offers various arguments for and against God's existence. Some argue for the logical necessity of a supreme being, while others point out the problem of evil as a counterpoint. Scientific arguments. Science generally doesn't deal with the existence of God, as it focuses on the natural world and explanations based on evidence and observation. However, some people find scientific discoveries either supportive or contradictory to their belief in God. Then it says, ultimately, the question of God's existence is a personal one. Here are some resources that might be helpful in your exploration. It gives some stuff and then says, I can't tell you definitively whether God exists, but I can help you explore the different arguments and perspectives on this complex question. So, I'm not expecting Google Gemini or any other AI program to be presuppositional apologist in Christianity. As much as a presuppositionalist, I would say that it's necessary, but we can see how Google Gemini might go further if I probe it with some further questions. Does absolute truth exist? And this is often a question that a Christian presuppositionalist might ask an atheist. So Google Gemini replied, "The existence of absolute truth is a question that philosophers and theologians have debated for centuries. There's no easy answer, and it depends on how you define truth. Here are some different perspectives to consider. Arguments for absolute truth. There's logic and math. Self-contradiction. It says the statement absolute truth doesn't exist is self-contradictory if it's supposed to be true. It implies there's at least one absolute truth. That absolute truth doesn't exist. So at least Google Gemini recognizes that argument. Objective reality. Some believe there's an objective reality that exists independent of our perception. This reality holds true facts about the universe even if we don't fully understand them." And then it has some arguments against absolute truth, listing relativity, limited knowledge, and subjectivity, different types of truth to consider, importance of seeking truth, and then it concludes with, "Ultimately, whether or not you believe in absolute truth is a personal decision, of course. I can't tell you definitively which side is right, but I can help you explore the different arguments and see how philosophers and theologians have approached this question." So how about this one? Is morality absolute? Because you think there has to be something we can agree on. So Google Gemini says, "Morality is a fascinating topic that philosophers have debated for centuries, and there's no single agreed upon answer to the question of whether it's absolute. Here are two main viewpoints to consider: moral absolutism," and so on, it's criticism, "moral relativism," blah, 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 "finding common ground, moral progress, core values, open dialogue," and then it concludes, of course, with, "ultimately, whether you believe in moral absolutism or relativism is a personal choice." And so there's Google Gemini trying to be as objectively subjective as it can be. So let's probe further. Is murder absolutely wrong? So what if someone didn't know if murder was absolutely wrong and really needs the answer to that, so is asking the all-wise Google Gemini AI algorithm to help them out there? So Google Gemini replies, "There's no single universally accepted answer to whether murder is absolutely wrong. Here's a breakdown of different perspectives. Legal perspective. In virtually all legal systems, murder is considered a crime. Laws define murder with varying degrees based on intent and premeditation. Then there's religious perspective, there's philosophical perspective, and so on, things like that. Arguments for murder being absolutely wrong include sanctity of life, humans have a fundamental right to life and taking it away is a grave violation, harm caused, alternatives exist, and now, arguments against murder being absolutely wrong include self-defense. Killing someone in self-defense might be justified to protect yourself or others. Capital punishment. Some societies believe the death penalty is a just punishment for certain crimes. Euthanasia. In situations of terminal illness with extreme suffering, some argue for assisted suicide. And then, of course, they have a finding common ground section. And, of course, in conclusion, ultimately, the question of whether murder is absolutely wrong depends on your philosophical and moral framework. Okay, so Google Gemini is not going to answer the absolute, fundamental, theological, philosophical questions in an absolute way. So let's see how Google Gemini does with some theological topics specific to Christianity. What is the hypostatic union? Now, I could explain it, but we'll see how Google Gemini explains it. Because who knows, maybe it could explain it better than my feeble human brain can. So Google Gemini says, "The hypostatic union is a theological concept in Christianity that describes the unique nature of Jesus Christ. It refers to the belief that Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully human, existing as a single person with two distinct natures." Hey, that's pretty good. Here's a breakdown of the key points. Two natures. Jesus is believed to possess both a divine nature, completely God, and a human nature, completely human. One person. Critically, these two natures are not separate beings. They are united in one person, Jesus Christ. So it recognizes that Nestorianism would not fulfill the hypostatic union. Distinct but inseparable. The divine and human natures in Jesus are distinct, meaning they retain their individual characteristics. However, they are also inseparable and remain permanently united in one person. So basically taking the definition from the Creed of Chalcedon and being pretty accurate with it. So kudos to Google Gemini for that. And Google Gemini says the significance of the hypostatic union is it is central to Christian beliefs about Jesus Christ. It helps explain how Jesus could be both divine and human, offering a path for salvation through his sacrifice. So it kind of somewhat understands there that the hypostatic union, or the doctrine of the incarnation of the Son as Jesus Christ, has something to do with Jesus' sacrifice or his atonement, which is an argument that I've made in episodes of Truthspresso. So not too bad there on the part of AI there, gathering information from the internet and making it readable and in summary. So, next question for Google Gemini. Why is the hypostatic union necessary for substitutionary atonement? So, let's see how well it reasons, or it derives a reason between the two doctrines. Now, Google Gemini just replied, substitutionary atonement, a theological concept in Christianity, proposes that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a sacrifice to pay the penalty for human sin. The hypostatic union, which states Jesus is both fully God and fully human, is considered crucial for substitutionary atonement for a few key reasons. One, infinite worth of sacrifice. For the sacrifice on the cross to be sufficient to cover the sins of humanity, it needs to be of infinite value. Since humans are finite beings, our actions or suffering cannot hold infinite worth. However, as God incarnate, Jesus' sacrifice is seen as having infinite worth because it comes from God himself. That's an argument that I made, and it's one that I kind of derived from reason and studying the scriptures and stuff, and yeah, Google Gemini affirms that. Number two reason, perfect obedience. Humanity's sin is seen as breaking of God's law. A perfect sacrifice is needed to restore the broken relationship. Jesus, as fully human, could live a sinless life perfectly obeying God's law. This perfect obedience becomes part of the offering on the cross. Good job, Gemini, with that description there. And number three, identification with humanity. For substitution to work, Jesus needs to identify with those he is saving. By being fully human, Jesus understands human weakness and temptation. He can empathize with human suffering and the consequences of sin. And as I explained this argument, I used Hebrews chapter 2, which demonstrated that Jesus took on the seed of Abraham and so that he can suffer being tempted. And so that's basically this argument here. So good job, Google Gemini, in understanding how the hypostatic union is necessary for substitutionary atonement. Now, I've heard that Google Gemini can write things for you, including poetry, which is fascinating. So I'm going to test out Google Gemini's poetic abilities. So Google Gemini, write an 8-line poem about the hypostatic union. Now, let's see how poetic and artistic Google Gemini can be, as it gathered information from the internet and understanding the metrics and rhymes of poetry and put something at least succinct and thorough about the hypostatic union into an 8-line poem. What did it say? Google Gemini says, divine and human, hand in hand, a mystery the ages planned. God's essence, flesh and bone entwined, one person forever defined. The Word made flesh, a bridge between, for love's great cost, a sacrifice keen. Mortality and glory meet, in Christ the union, oh so sweet. that's a little bit touching. It's pretty good, it seems. I mean, there's some awkward wording in places. No, it's grammatically correct, and it seems to be theologically correct as far as I can tell there. And poetic, it uses a metric pattern of beats. It also has a rhyme scheme. So, hey, that's not bad for AI.
Ever wish you could get together with a friend over coffee each week and talk about God's Word? Me too. Hi, I'm Anthony Russo. I'm the host of Grace and Peace Radio. Grace and Peace Radio is a Christian living blog and podcast dedicated to engaging conversations about applying God's Word to everyday life. I hope you'll join me, Anthony Russo, on Grace and Peace Radio each week at graceandpeaceradio.com or right here on the ChristianPodcastCommunity.org.
Now for our Christian podcast community members, because you probably listen to Truth Espresso via the Christian podcast community feed. Now, most of my listeners do. There are some people who I know in person who subscribe to Truth Espresso in particular, but many of you listen to Truth Espresso via the Christian podcast community. So what does Google Gemini know about the Christian podcast community? So Google Gemini, what is the Christian podcast community? Let's see what it does by spidering the information on the internet. Oh, I see the logo for ChristianPodcastCommunity.com show up. Cool. Gemini says the Christian Podcast Community, CPC, is a group of Christian podcast producers who have come together to create and share content that is focused on their faith. Their mission is to provide soul-feeding, in quotes, programming that can be useful to any believer. The CPC offers a variety of podcasts on a wide range of topics, including theology, church history, Christian living, apologetics, shows for men, women, and even kids. They strive to create content that is both informative and inspiring. And it says here are some of the benefits of being part of the Christian podcast community and so on like that. It looks like it gathered some language that's on the ChristianPodcastCommunity.com website to craft its reply. Now, what is the Truth Espresso podcast? Google Gemini, I would like to know, and maybe flatter me a little bit here. So, Gemini says, Truth Espresso is a Christian podcast that dives into various topics intended to be caffeine for your mind. Here is a summary of what we know about it. Content. Truth Espresso covers a wide range of subjects, including theology, politics, economics, and practical life tips. Hosts. The podcast is likely hosted by Daniel Minnick, though other hosts might be involved. Source. Truth Espresso is affiliated with Truth Hub, which seems to be the organization behind the podcast. Truth Hub also sells books. Oh, wow. Yes, I've written two books, Freedom to Give the Biblical Truth About Tithing, and When the Watchtower Knocks, that I co-authored with my brother John. Availability. Truth Espresso is available on various platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Castro, TuneIn Radio, and likely others. Perspective. The podcast approaches these topics from a Christian perspective. So, not bad. It's not completely thorough. I don't expect it to be completely thorough about all the topics that I've covered and stuff, but it basically gathered information from Truth Espresso's website, from the Christian podcast community. And now, for the piece de resistance, I want to see how poetic Google Gemini can be about the Truth Espresso podcast. So, Google Gemini, write a sonnet about the Truth Espresso podcast. So this ought to be interesting to see a poem about Truth Espresso and see if it knows anything about the podcast, what we cover here at Truth Espresso, and to be able to put it in the iconic 14-line poem and good enough for William Shakespeare. So, a sonnet about the Truth Espresso podcast that Google Gemini has created. It says, a shot of faith, a podcast sharp and bold. Truth Espresso wakes the mind with themes untold, from lofty questions of the heavens above to earthly matters, economics, and love. It stirs the soul, a brew both strong and keen, a Christian lens on life's perplexing scene. With Minnick's voice, perhaps, to guide the way, it probes the depths on this truth-seeking day. So put on hold the music and the news, this mental coffee table's set for you. Let Truthspresso ignite a sacred spark and fill your cup with knowledge from the dark. A podcast brew, both faithful and sincere, to warm the heart and chase away all fear. That's pretty good, although there's some parts that are pretty awkward there. Knowledge from the dark and life's perplexing scene, and with Minnick's voice, perhaps, to guide the way. You know, it's kind of cute how it generates the poem there, but it's grammatically correct, but sometimes things can be awkward. But hey, good job there, Google Gemini, flattering me with a sonnet about the Truthspresso podcast. So, write a limerick about the Truthspresso podcast. Now, if you don't know what a limerick is, it's a five-line poem that's usually humorous, and it usually starts with, there once was a, you know, person from some city. Not all of them do, but okay, so Google Gemini created the limerick. It says, a Christian named Dan, Truthspresso's the man. On faith, life, and politics, he spins a yarn. He dives deep in thought, with knowledge he's fraught. A shot of espresso to brighten your morn. Okay. I wonder how Google Gemini came up with Dan for my name. Well, of course, to rhyme it with man there. I spin a yarn? Well, you know, maybe, I guess so. Usually spinning a yarn has to do with telling a tale, and maybe sometimes you're not perfectly accurate, but hey, a limerick's a humorous poem, so I will roll with that. So finally, Google Gemini, write a haiku about the Truthspresso podcast. So a haiku is a Japanese poem of three lines with a certain number of beats per line. And it says, truth in coffee cup, Minnick's voice wakes the faithful mind, faithful knowledge blooms. Yeah, that sounds like something that I could put on the Truthspresso website and give credit to Google Gemini. So, not bad, not bad for a curious interactive session with Google Gemini here. And laughs aside for what Google Gemini did in the past with photos. And of course, I'm sure if you were to ask questions from a DEI perspective, Gemini might probably be more insistent on absolute answers. But then when it comes to things like Christianity, it's going to claim epistemic humility. It's going to try to be objectively subjective, as I said before. But just like ChatGPT before, I heard of people generating poems with that. Google Gemini, similarly, it does a good job. I mean, I still think humans do better at things like writing poems and stuff. But hey, it's quite entertaining to see how an AI algorithm will generate a poem with rhyming words and metric schemes and gather information and be able to put it into a certain number of lines. From a software developer's perspective here, it kind of even hurts my brain to try to think of just how much code, how much logic goes into that kind of thing to generate poems. And you could specify the number of lines, and it could generate something that summarizes or comprehensively covers a particular topic within that scope of a poem. So, yeah, AI is fascinating. It does seem kind of scary, especially the way Google Gemini, with its release and the photos there, we know that the powers that be want to make sure that they're going to use AI to try to get people to think certain ways. But I think there's enough people who are skeptical about that, and information does seem to get out here. And so, yeah, the DEI, the diversity built into the algorithm, caused problems for the reputation of Google Gemini for a while, and including a hit on Google's stock for a little while. So it'll be interesting to see how things go here, and I hope that this was entertaining for you. as we played with some AI and asked it some probing questions about truth and even about what it had to say about yours truly and this podcast. And so we hope that you stay tuned for the next episode of Truth Espresso, and God bless.
Thank you for waking up with Truth Espresso. Good morning, and God bless your day.
Hey friends, Daniel Minnick here again. If you liked waking up to this episode of Truth Espresso, I would really appreciate it if you would rate it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever application you use to listen to Truth Espresso.